Well, you guys are probably wondering why I'm up here. Mainly, Corey came up and asked me. It was in his heart to ask me to preach today. And knowing that I can't turn down God and almost being hesitant, I just said, yes, I'll do it. So obviously God's will be done and I'll be up here. I am nervous. But like Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Corey, he made a comment about, in the Bible, one of the longest sermons was by a deacon. I believe it was when Stephen in Acts. And it kind of, that and, you know, me not wanting to be up here, kind of sparked my message today for, go fight yourself. Okay. Now if you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do, turn to Romans chapter 8 for me. And we're going to be reading verses 1 through 11. I'm reading the New King James Version, so I think Bob might have ESV up there. Who knows? As is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did, sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh, on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is eternal against, is, I'm sorry, the, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give you life to your mortal bodies through the Spirit who dwells in you. So what does it mean to live by the Spirit and not by the flesh? It means putting ourselves last and others first. It means doing the things we really don't want to do. It means waking up early on a Saturday morning after getting only a few hours of sleep the night before sitting up firecrackers just to go fix a fence at the church. It means to fight yourself and conquer your fleshly desires. For Abraham, at the time was Abram, it was to, he fought his flesh when God told him to leave his father's house. He literally went to the next town over until his father died. For Joseph's brothers, it was their jealousy that sold their brother into Egypt, but the Lord meant it for good. For Moses, good old Moses, he tried to talk his way out of serving the Lord. He even lied to him. He said he wasn't a very elegant man. Man was raised to be an Egyptian prince. He had the best education in the land, spoke many different languages. But still, the Lord took account of his stubbornness, or his flesh in account, and he had Aaron already walking towards him, so Aaron could help him. Acts chapter 7 is a great example, plus Stephen's sermon, is on how Israel always blew it on the first go-around, but on the second go-around, they realized, you know, hey, it's time to listen to God. For me at this moment, it's standing behind this pulpit. So about 16 years ago, my wife decided she wanted to get back into church. I wasn't raised a churchly man. I wasn't raised into the church. I was like, yeah, no, you know, I was a wake and bake kind of guy. I'd rather get high on the weekends. But it was Sunday and she wanted to go. So she says, as long as you go, I don't care. Sitting in the pew in the very back, listening to this pastor talking. He was talking about when he grew up, he didn't want to be a preacher and he didn't like to speak in front of crowds and all this other stuff. And I literally heard a voice in the back of my head saying, that's going to be you one day. Man, I didn't think I was that high. I thought I was tripping. But you know what? Here I am. I wasn't ready for that encounter, so I did what any non-believer would do. I forgot about it. A few Sundays in, I started going to church with her, and I'd go sober. Then my brother-in-law, Brad, he was the one who was always trying to cram the word down my throat. He gave me my first Bible. And I believe that's how we first start to conquer our flesh, is by reading our Bibles. I started to read it, and like it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the divisions of the soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I was beginning to feel a change in my life. I was beginning to feel a sense of purpose. I was beginning to feel like a Christian, so I thought. 13 years ago, we moved out here. I felt a calling to come out to Dickinson. It felt like home. I felt that peace coming out here. I assumed it was God calling me out here. But soon after that, I drifted away because the first church impression that I got from a local church was not a good one. And sadly, it's no longer there. But I started to drift away from the Lord. I started to drift away from the Word, and I got right back into that plant that made me think I was closer to God than anything else could, and I started to drink more. And then 10 years ago next month, I get to celebrate this an anniversary next month. I was in the hospital with congestive heart failure, fighting for my life. They were telling me I was dying. I was literally praying for my family. The last thing I wanted was for them to go through this kind of ordeal. Most likely I made promises to God that I probably never ever to keep. They didn't know what it was. They said I was a smoker and a heavy drinker, and those things are bad for your heart. So I did give up smoking. I gave up hard liquor, but I still drink beer. My heart was in AFib. They had to restart my heart to get it in the normal rhythm. In that ordeal, I gained a little over 60 pounds. I was about almost 290 pounds. My knees still hurt because of the ordeal. But God worked a miracle then. I was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism. A lot of people have a low thyroid and it helps them to gain weight, but with a hyperthyroid, it literally made me lose weight quick. Within 3 months, I was back down to my normal weight. And the doctors were shocked because the last test showed that there was nothing wrong with me. They didn't know why I was there. They didn't have any indication that I had a thyroid problem. And that basically made me look to God again. With that miracle and the results from the doctor saying everything was fine with my heart, I praised the Lord. Then my flesh fought back again. Addiction. It's the hardest thing to fight through. After all that, my flesh still turned to the drug of escape and to drinking alcohol. But thankfully, God never gave up on me, and the Holy Spirit continued to convict me. I was finally able to break free of addictions with his help. But first, I had to allow myself to his help. I had to give myself up to him. I had to make sure I gave up my fleshly desires for his spiritual ones. The next step was going to church. Sitting here today, you all have fought your flesh to get up today and come to church. You have all made the first step to, or I guess the second step, to fighting your flesh. There's other ways to fight the flesh. Through the loss of loved ones. Many in Central Texas are dealing with this right now. These girls that were in Camp Mystic. It literally just came to me that how much of a blessing it would be to go to a church camp and to wake up with Jesus. I mean, that's amazing. We have to praise God for that. It's the best camp experience I'm sure they would ever have and anybody will ever have. For me, when my mom passed, I wasn't a very spiritually strong man. And it was different, but though when my dad passed. When my mom passed, I felt anger. I felt a loss of control. I didn't know what to do. But when my dad passed, I was stronger in my faith. And with my dad, I felt rejoice. He could breathe again. He was with Jesus. He didn't have to, struggle with his breath. He struggled to breathe every day. I'm just thankful that he came to Christ a year before he passed away. We tend to be selfish when our loved ones pass. And that's the hard part. Our flesh wants them to be with us. Our flesh wants our loved ones here. And I know it's hard, but we need to know that God loves them more. Jesus loves them more. He loves us more. And when they're with him, they're better off than they could ever be. Philippians 1:21. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Second Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we must rejoice when the Lord calls our loved ones home. Okay? It's not easy. My weakest part, through anger. This one gets me every day. When I drive around Houston all day for our work, and I like to praise the Lord. I like to pray and give him praise, especially when I get the green lights and arrows. Or when I'll come into a busy street, I'll say, Lord, help me get through here. And all of a sudden, there's an opening in traffic. And I say, thank you, Lord. And because I feel like he's helping me. We call on him and he helps us. But then it happens. My biggest pet peeve. I'll be driving down the road and nobody behind me, and a car rushes to get in front of me just to make a right turn. Why would you want to slow me down just because you have to make a right turn? You could have gotten behind me. It really irritates us. The sad part is we go from praising God to cursing others so fast. James 3:8-10, it says, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. We also need to hold fast to 2 Corinthians 10 verse 5. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, to bring every thought into captivity and obedience in Christ. Because of those, I find myself apologizing to God a lot and asking for forgiveness. Another way to fight our flesh, we need to be obedient. And how do we become obedient? Baptism. I fought with myself for many years to get baptized. Thief on the cross, he didn't get baptized. Why should I be baptized? I fought for many years, and then I realized it was Satan that kept me from being baptized. It was Satan keeping me from out of these waters here. But thankfully, God gave me the strength to get through it. It was literally one of the hardest things I've ever had to do. But man, when I came out of that water, the weight that was lifted off my shoulders was indescribable. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Tithing. Trusting that the Lord will provide for you when your flesh feels like you need your money more than the church does. This building doesn't get free electricity to run the ACs that keep us cool, especially during these summer days. All the upkeep, all the everything, you know, the material to fix the fence. We have more fence to be fixed. Every part of this building needs money. And God is using our tithings to keep this place alive. Okay, without tithing, without that, this place will be just a building as we pass by, a skeleton. I tithe because I want to say to God, thank you for providing me with what I needed for this week. He wants to show us miracles with the little that we give to the church and the what's left of, that we keep for ourselves. Another way to be obedient is serving. Putting our flesh aside, who wants our wants to do what we think we need to do and do the things that God wants us to do. To help those that need helping. To serve the church in whatever way we can serve. Matthew 5:28, Jesus says, as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life for, as a ransom for many. I know I'd rather be at home and do whatever and not serve. I'd rather be probably playing video games. But who are we to say we are part of Christ and not serve, especially his church? Jesus says in Revelation chapter 7 to the seven church, to the seven churches, I know your works. He's watching. I used to quote Ephesians 2:8-9. By for grace we have been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You know, I was like, oh, well, I'm saved by faith. I don't have to do any works. But then verse 10 comes along. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. But are we really saved by grace if we're not doing any good works? James asked that question in his book. One of the hardest verses for me is to do all things without complaining or disputing. That one rings a bell every time I start complaining. Oh, man, I really don't want to do that. This morning I woke up. My back is hurting from from helping these boys with the fence, and I was literally laughing because God says He strengthens us when we are weaker. And boy, am I weaker today. Stephanie, last week, Saturday, helped us set up for everything for fifth Sunday. And then Sunday, she was serving, running around. You know what we found out? She was saying that her foot hurt. She had a fall. We found out Wednesday that she's got a fractured foot. That's putting your flesh before away so you can serve the Spirit. You know, Bob upstairs, he's been up in that booth for 15 years now. That's putting your flesh outside. The Bakers, Stephen and Ann, every Saturday are up here with making sure the outside looks beautiful with the flowers. They do need help, y'all. They need help. We need, if you guys are gifted with a green thumb, come join them on a Saturday. It'll be faster. You know, they won't have to be up here, so long. The decorating team, running around, making sure this place looks appealing. That's serving your spirit, overcoming your flesh. This church needs you more than you know. So what must we do, or how must we conquer our flesh? Well, we do it through Scripture. Scripture gives us the answers. First, we listen to what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verses 29 through 31. And it says, and Jesus answered them, first of all, the commandment is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than those. So we just got to love the Lord first and then love everyone else around us. Everyone is our neighbors. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 say, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Galatians 5, 22. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 26. Walk in the Spirit, and Jesus will grow and will grow you the fruits of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. If then you are raised in Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Remember, Jesus says, give to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but give to God the things that are God. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your responsible service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, though grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one in one measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. We, being many, are one body in Christ, and individual members of one another. So the toe cannot be a heart, and your mouth cannot hear. But don't be the hair, because like my hair, it's falling out. So we must surrender ourselves to Him. So as we surrender ourselves, we need to put away our flesh. We need to make sure that we are giving God everything. We need to make sure that we are giving ourselves to Him. As the musicians make their way to the stage, if you're being held back in any way by your flesh, I pray you allow God to give you the strength to come forward and give your heart over to Christ. It's not the easiest thing to do. I know. I've been running from this for many years. But no matter how far you've run, God is right there behind you. You could run for a mile and turn around and take one step, and God's right there. You don't even have to take a step. He runs towards you. That's a parable of the prodigal son. The father literally ran to him and hugged him and embraced him. So pray with me. And if you are wanting to overcome your flesh today and come to the altar, please come and let us pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be up here. I thank you for overcoming my flesh, Lord. I pray that you help others to overcome their flesh. I pray that you help others to stand up. I pray that you help others to come to you, Lord. Help others to glorify you in everything that they do, Lord. Help these folks here today. And again, Lord, I pray that you are with all those that are affected in the floods of Central Texas, Lord. Lord, you will be glorified in the end, and we just love that you're going to do that, Lord. We love you so much. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Don't be shy. Come on.